the end of the service. And so, just wave at me, remind me. So anyway, tonight, Acts 11:24, this morning we talked about fathers because it was Father's Day. And again, there was a lot of principles that other than the strictly to the husband and strictly to the fathers that we could apply and so forth. And so same way tonight, obviously, the title of my sermon is Good Men Have Faith. This morning we saw a good father is a choice. And so we talked about good fathers this morning. Tonight we're going to talk about good men have faith, but all of us can have faith. That's not restricted to anybody. So, of course, all these principles can apply to the ladies, to the children, to the teens, and so forth. But the Bible says in Acts 11:24, it says here, "For he was a good man." And so, of course, this was talking about Barnabas. Most people believe Luke wrote the book of Acts. Some people think maybe others and things like that. But either way, Barnabas was getting some props here, getting some, pats on the back, things like that. And they were like, now Barnabas is a good fellow. And of course, we saw, if you read the whole story, you can talk about how Paul and Barnabas and John Mark and different ones and things like that, they kind of got a little crossways. And the good thing about that is, obviously, we can serve God and just try to do our best, things like that, and God reconciles a lot of that kind of stuff. And you saw in that story, Paul's like, "Hey, bring John Mark with you," and get said, "Look, maybe I judged too quickly, maybe things like that, or maybe that he just grew and things like that." And so that's why when somebody maybe does get on your nerves or get sideways with you, things like that, don't hold grudges. Don't try to get even. Just give it to God. You do right. And because that's what we're going to do is give an account for is our own life. But and that's what Barnabas was. He was just a good man wanting to serve the Lord and didn't care who got the credit. Didn't care, if he got recognized or whatever. But he was getting recognized here. And it says here, "For he was a good man." And the reason they had that opinion, it goes on to tell us. It says here, "He was full of the Holy Ghost and faith." And it says here, "And much people was added unto the Lord." And so, of course, if that could be said about any of us, he was a good man or she was a good woman and full of the Holy Ghost and they had faith and people got saved because of it. People went to church because of it. People said, "Hey, that guy right there or that lady right there, they seem like a Christian. They seem like a good person and I want some of what they've got." And they maybe go to church. They maybe read a tract. They maybe ask you, "What do you got that's different?" And you might be able to lead them to the Lord personally. But that's the way Barnabas was. He was a optimistic fella. He was trying to serve God, and he had that testimony that he was a good man. Barnabas wouldn't lie to you. He's a good man. Barnabas wouldn't cheat you out of anything. He was a good man. Barnabas always, and he said here, he was full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people were added unto the Lord. So it was a brief but arresting description of this person. He was a good man. Why was he a good man? Full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. And so it's kind of like boom, right out the gate. And so we're going to look at three things here in the introduction, and then I'll give you my outline. But the first thing we're going to see that was said about him, the compliment was given to him that he was a good man. And so and I read these verses or quoted these verses this morning, Proverbs 22:1, "A good name is rather to be chosen." And so Barnabas, again, I think if we get so caught up in it, "I got to have a good name, I got to have a good name, I got to have a good name," and that's our focus, the Bible kind of indicates, well, that is your reward. But if a person says, "Okay, I want to please God, I want to do what God wants me to do, I want to do His will, I want to make Him happy," then it's associated with that person's a good man. And so a good name is rather to be chosen. And in Ecclesiastes 7:1, it says this, "A good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth." And so, of course, when a person's born, back in the Bible times, they would pick a name that meant something specific in hopes for that kid to grow up and become that. In our day and time, you're just named after somebody, or you're just named after something that your mom and dad thought was cute, or they bought a book and put these two names together, and when they called your whole name out, you're like, "Ugh." But anyway, we're just named. But it says here, "But a good name is better than a precious ointment." Now, I do bathe, I do wear deodorant, things like that, but I can't wear cologne or aftershave because I... I'd just be sneezing and my nose would be running and my eyes would be running, things like that. So, you know, I can't frou-frou it up. I'm sorry. Okay. Maybe I could get some Febreze or something. But anyway, you know, I can't do that. But I get it. Some people, they like it. And some people, they really like it. In other words, you smell, Musk or Elon Musk, or you smell, eternity, or you smell Chanel number 5 for days when they walk by. It seems like they just dive in it and come out. And anyway, but it says here a good name is better than that. And it's nice. Smelling good is way better than smelling bad. I would rather smell, I think I use the Degree Sport. And so that's about the only smell I'll get. But I would rather smell Degree Sport or any other kind of deodorant than non-deodorant. Amen? And especially if you're on a subway or in a car or in a tight spot. And so that's what it's saying here. A good name is way better than smelling good and so forth. Then it goes on to say, some have said that the need for this hour is not to have clever men, but to have good men. Especially in homes and churches, even in politics today, it seems like the cleverest, the most clever, or the one that can get around trouble or not get caught in things, they're clever. They'll do good. No. It would be way better if we just had good men, not clever men. So what it's saying here in Acts 24, it wasn't, oh, Barnabas is just clever. He's up to something, but he's just too clever to get caught. He's always, on that borderline of like carnal or spiritual. No, he didn't say that. It said Barnabas is a good man. You don't have to worry about, he might be funny or he might be a good sense of humor or he might be clever, or he might be a smart aleck. No, he was just a good man. There's nothing wrong with having some of those other qualities, but a good man is what. So that's first. He was mentioned that he was a good man. Second thing that he was mentioned here was a unique combination. It said there that he was full of the Holy Ghost and faith. So he was full of the Holy Ghost. He was saved. He was a saved individual, but he had faith, strong faith. And he lived by faith, and he it was known of that. So it says here, when you get saved, you get all of the Holy Spirit. Some religions out there think you got to have a workup mode to get the Holy Spirit. You have to grow into it, things like that. But according to the Bible says the Holy Spirit comes inside of you to live, and you're saved and sealed to the day of redemption. In other words, he's not going to go out. He's not going to come in by osmosis, and he's not going to go out by you sleeping on your side and things like that. No, when you get saved, he comes in to stay. But what this is talking about is the longer that you're saved and the more, because I probably know some, I won't say that, let's just say there probably is some Christians that's been saved for a long time, but they're not really full of the Holy Ghost. And what that meaning is they haven't grown to the point where God has more of them. In other words, the Holy Spirit comes in, you get all of the Holy Spirit when you get saved. But the more you grow in grace and faith, the Bible teaches that the more the Holy Spirit gets of you. And so that's how you get full of the Holy Ghost. In other words, there wasn't Barnabas, 9 out of 10 things he had it nailed down. But he had that one little secret compartment that he wasn't full of the Holy Ghost, and that was his besetting sin, or that's what he kept hid from anybody. No. He was full. Every aspect, every area of his life was given to the Holy Spirit. And that's what it's talking about. So first, he was a good man. Secondly, he had that quality of being Holy Ghost and faith-filled. So he was totally surrendered. God was in every area of his life. There wasn't that hidden compartment. Or I've surrendered everything except. And I've seen people like that. They go to church, they read their Bible, they pray, but then there's that little, some people call it that besetting sin. God's not in charge of this area. I am. I still have it all. I'll give God church, and I'll give God Bible reading, and I'll give God prayer, but I'm keeping this, even though I know the Bible says that we ought not do it. Couldn't say that about Barnabas. He had given all to God. He was full. So he was obedient to every command that God, he was fully dependent on him. So first was, he was a good man. Secondly, he had that combination of being full of the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit. Thirdly, it says here he mentioned the consequences of him being that good man and full of the Holy Ghost. So if you're a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit, okay, something's going to happen. It's not just going to sit there dormant. There's some things that go dormant certain times of the year. And then all of a sudden, certain times of the year, poof, here it comes. And then it goes back to dormant. And then poof, here it comes again. But Barnabas, it says here, his life was, stuff happened because he was a good man and he was full of the Holy Ghost. He didn't just go through life dormant. We're supposed to, obviously plant seeds and things like that. So we see here that he was a good man, full of the Holy Ghost and faith, and then things happened. It says here, many people were added to the Lord. So in other words, just because he was good. So hopefully, in our life, we can live good at work. We can live good in our neighborhood. We can live good in our family relationships. And people can see Christ in us. And it might take years. It might take down the road. What's different about you? What did you say you had to do to get to heaven and things like that? We might get those questions asked. And he did. And it says here, to the point that many people ask him. Many people came to the Lord because of his relationship. He was a good man, but he was full of the Holy Ghost. So we see here, the emphasis here was on the faith. And the faith, don't put your faith in having a good name. Put your faith in God. And it says here, the faith, that thing, there will be power of God. There will be the works that take place. There will be results that happen because of it. So when we see other people's faith, it does something for us. Say, that person was going through a struggle, but they put their faith in God and God brought them through. And it was awesome. So we can see people's faith. Not only can we see people's faith, we can sing about faith. This morning, Brother Derek led us in Faith of Our Fathers. So we can sing about it. Faith is the victory. My wife was singing a song, I guess she was, I don't know if you, were you singing it at me? The Poochie Lip Disease? All right. I think she was singing the Poochie Lip Disease. Anybody know that song? All right, the Poochie Lip Disease. So she was singing that Poochie Lip Disease, and Brother Roger's like, what? And so she sang the whole chorus to him, and so we were talking about how we sing in these hymn books, we sing songs, and we get, with lack of a better term, indoctrinated, because there's lots of truth in those songs. And we believe in the Bible, we believe in the Holy Ghost, and we believe in faith and all this stuff, because we've sung it over and over. And that's what those songs do for the kids. The Wiggle Worm, I don't know about the Wiggle Worm. Patch the Pirate has lots of those songs. The Poochie Lip and the Wiggle Worm and all that kind of stuff. And if the devil doesn't like it, he can sit on a tack, right? And y'all might hear that one in that room back there on Wednesday night. But anyway, so we can sing about faith. So we can see people's faith. We can sing about faith. And that was very well known about Barnabas. He was a man of faith. Then also, we can also search for that faith. They saw Barnabas' faith. And they may have even sung about it, but then he's like, I want some of that. I want some of that. It's kind of like when you go fishing. If somebody catches a fish, everybody else in the boat, what kind of bait are you using? How fast are you reeling it? Where did you throw it? They'll just get all over top of you. I caught three in a row. Well, we hadn't caught any, and they're throwing over your head. They want your spot. You get a spot, and all of a sudden you look over, you're catching a lot, and there's a boat there. Then there's a boat there. And there's a boat there, and they're throwing. What do they want? They want some of what you got. And so that's what Barnabas was, a good man. And he was full of the Holy Ghost and full of faith, and they wanted some of it. So faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. We ought to read it, believe it, put it to practice. And so he was a good example of that. So what we're going to see about this faith tonight, we've got 3 points. Number one, faith. We ought to have it. And what does faith do for us? First thing it does, it stabilizes us. It stabilizes us. Now, I know there's some of you in here, you hadn't been walking long, okay? And so, you might still weeble. Now, I don't think there's anybody here that's not been walking long. Everybody in here has been walking at least 5 or 6 years, 8 years maybe. But maybe some of you are on the other end, and you've been walking a long time. So you do weeble and wobble. Hopefully you don't fall down. I don't know if you remember those things. But faith, it stabilizes us. What does a walker do? It stabilizes us. What does a cane do? It stabilizes us. What does our wife do? She stabilizes us. A handrail, that's what it is, for stabilizing. And so what Barnabas, when you see somebody like that, and you're like, I want some of that, and you get it, it'll stabilize your life. It seems like Barnabas, everything he does is just so. Everything that God uses him to do is blessed. I want some of that, and it stabilizes us. So faith will stabilize us. The Bible talks about it in several places about that your foot not slip. Okay, and the people that their feet don't slip, they're stabilized by faith. Why? Because the devil's going to try to trip you. He's going to try to scare you. So number one underneath, number one, or I guess A, faith keeps us stable when the devil comes roaring. And all of us in here, we talked about that this morning in Sunday school, about manning up and being tough. all right, and all those kind of things. And we ought to do that, but we ought to have God. So I've seen the biggest, toughest, strongest looking dudes, you know, biceps the size of my thighs and all that kind of stuff, and you come up behind them and poke them in the side, or you jump out and go boo like that. I mean, they will squeal like a little girl. All right. Why? Because you caught them off guard. And I've seen people fall because you scare them. And I think I've told you this about me. It's okay. If you want to boo, jump out from behind something around here and scare me, that's fine. And you're going to probably get a, that's what I do when I get scared. I just, and like that. But I also swing. Okay. So if you want to scare me, duck. Because it's like, I'm just coming. That's just me, I guess. But anyway, so we see that our faith stabilizes us. The devil's going to roar, and he wants us to squeal like a little girl, even if you are a little girl. He wants you to jump, and, oh, no, I'm going to fall. I can't make it through this. That's what the devil does. He just roars. But if we have faith, it stabilizes us. It's like, roar! And you just look at him like, man, that didn't scare you? Mm-mm. Well, I tried. I get it. I understand. And so, the devil, that's what he'll do. He'll scream and roar and things like that and try to get you to jump. Oh, I'm having a heart attack, Elizabeth. This is the big one. He's trying to scare you. All right? But if we have faith in God, like Barnabas did, and full of faith, you know, the devil's roaring out there, but God's got it. He's greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I'm okay. God's got it. He's taking care of it. It stabilizes us. We don't jump, or we don't fall. We don't get off balance. We're just right there. So we will experience some sorrow in our life, but if we have strong faith, it will stabilize us. And we know all things work together in Romans 8:28 for good. Like, the devil's like, you're going through something. How in the world? This sorrow that you're facing. God's in charge of it. He's allowed it. So I'm gonna just trust God. And that stabilizes us. The devil's like, man, I thought that would have surely give him a heart attack. I thought that would have caused him surely to jump up and squeal. You know, but they just trusted God and went on through. Faith stabilizes us. When that devil comes a-roaring, we're also going to face difficulties. Again, another principle. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not on your own understandings. All your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. So we're going through some difficulties, but we're just going to trust God. So if we have faith, even though we're trusting difficulties, we're stable. Again, nothing wrong with going through sorrow, and even the Bible even talks about it. There's days of lamenting, there's days of sorrow, especially if you lose a loved one. Examples of that, you have to go through that, but you let it. That faith in God stabilize you, even if you're going through difficulties. Then sometimes in our life, we're going to face reverses. I mean, total 180s. Man, this is great. This is awesome. This one, boom. Oh, but God still knows what's going on. Don't let that trip you up. Psalm 37:23, it says this: the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Thank you, ma'am. All right, he's got it. If you're good, like Barnabas was a good man, if you're full of the Holy Ghost and full of faith, and all of a sudden you have to turn 180 and go back this way, you hit a wall, or that God puts it in reverse, God's ordering it. So don't let it trip you up. Faith will stabilize. But when faith comes, or faith in God, when it keeps us going on stable ground. I read one illustration about this. There was a farmer, and of course, right next door to us, they just got finished cutting the hay, letting it dry, windrowing it, baling it, and they hauled it off yesterday. They were putting hay in farms or barns everywhere. There was a farmer, he had just put his last bale in the barn, shut the doors, went inside, cleaned up, went to bed. And he was awoken by fire and flames and looked out there, and his barn was just up in flames. All his hay was going, all his barn was going. And so he was like, the devil was roaring. That's a lot of money. You're going to have to rebuild that, and just put in all kinds of stuff. But it says that he saw these, I guess, swallows build a nest up in the eaves of the barn. Said the swallows were just going frantically trying to get back in the barn because they had nests in there and they had babies in there. And he said the Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, you're fine, your wife's fine, and your kids are fine, and your house is fine. He's like, I can build another barn. That's what faith does. It stabilizes. You know, a lot of times we'll be running around like a chicken with our head cut off. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? Where God's like, hey, have faith in me, and I can take care of it. And so we can have faith in God. What does faith do? It stabilizes us. You start counting your blessings. And I've said this before, you know, if you can't sleep at night because you're frantic or whatever, you know, don't count sheep, talk to the shepherd. He can take care of stuff. That's how you stabilize. Faith will help you get stable. So God is working it all out for us and for our good, and He will keep you from slipping. So first of all, we see here, faith stabilizes. Faith keeps us stable when the devil comes roaring. Secondly, faith keeps us stable when we have successes. Faith will keep you stable when you have successes. I've seen in my life success get more people out of God's will than failure. That's just true. Because sometimes when we have that slip or that roaring, we'll get more serious about it. We'll get closer to God. I need your help. But a lot of times when we get successes, we do get to that point. I've arrived. I've got this Christianity thing figured out. I'm a good Christian. I'm a good person. I've this and I've that. And we get maybe built up. And then, of course, that haughty spirit comes right before that fall. Boom. So a lot of times if we have faith in God, when we are successful at something, faith will give the credit to God. God's the one that gave the increase. He may have allowed me to water. He may have allowed me to plant. He may have allowed me to pray. He may have allowed me to do this. But God is the one that gave the increase. That's what faith does. My faith is in Him, not in myself, not in my abilities. And that helps us stay stable. And so we got to give the credit to whom credit's due, and it's due to God. So if we get pride, we can fall. If we get haughty spirits, we can fall. If we get pharisaicalism in our mindset, we can fall. If we think we have arrived, we can fall. So faith not only helps us stay stable when the devil comes roaring, it helps us to stay stable when we have successes. So have faith in God and give Him the credit, and you will succeed. See, the third thing. Not only will the faith keep us stable when the devil comes roaring and when we have successes, here's another one. Faith will keep us stable when evil is spoken against you. This is another hurtful thing that Christians face. I mean, here I am trying to serve God. Here I am trying to love people, and all of a sudden somebody will get bent out of shape and they'll say something evil. And it's hurtful. And so we stayed stable during that devil roaring. Devil, get the hints. God's got this. We had some successes, and we're like, okay, God, I give you all the glory. You got it. You know, that wouldn't have happened if it wasn't for you. Thank you for using me, but I want to keep stable. But then all of a sudden somebody's like, yeah, and they say something evil about you. And wham, it knocks you upside the head. But what we have to do is, just like when the devil comes roaring, put biblical principles into practice. When you have successes, put biblical principles in motion. So what do you do when somebody says something evil about you? The greatest example in every area is Jesus. What did He do? He answered not a word. He just sat there. Lord, it's not my will, but yours be done. If this is what I need to go through, I'm ready. He offered Himself. And so Jesus knew that God said, this is the only thing I'm going to accept. Your blood, your death, and your burial, and your resurrection for the sins of the world. And so when they started talking about Him and ridiculing Him and things like that, He answered not a word. But then it also says here that pray for God to see you through by faith. God, you take care of it. We saw this, I believe it was Wednesday night, where it says, avenge not. That's a hard one to do. But faith will keep us stable, and we don't avenge. Keep on going. That faith will keep you stable. A lot of times when you're going across I don't know if you've ever walked across a balance beam or something small. It seems like the closer you get to the end, the faster you go. When you first start out, you're doing this, and you get close to the end, and you speed up. So that's what it's talking about. When we see that end coming, just keep on going. Keep on going. Fourth thing, and we'll be done with that point. Faith stabilizes us when faith keeps us stable when the work is hard. When the work is hard. Sometimes that heavy load, we start to stumble. The Bible tells us, be not weary in well-doing. Having done all to stand, fight the good fight of faith. finish your course. I mean, so there's principle after principle after principle that we can add when it starts getting hard. But if we don't want to stumble, put your faith in these promises. Luke 8, 22 and 25 says this. Jesus was asleep in the boat. And there was a storm that came up. And I'm paraphrasing here. And they were like, we're going to drown. We're going to die. And I mean, they knew what they were doing. They knew how to put the mast up and the sails up and things like that. And they're like, we've done all we can do. We're going to die. So they went down there and they woke up Jesus. And said, you know, he basically said, you don't care that we're fixing to die? You know, maybe he stretched a little bit, yawned, walked out, peace be still. And what did he ask them? Where's your faith? Where's your faith? And what he wanted to do was them to put, Jesus is right here. He's not going to let us drown. He's not going to let us perish. And if we do, kind of like the three Hebrew children, if we do, we'll just be in heaven. So faith stabilizes. Not only does it stabilize, secondly, number two, faith sterilizes. Faith sterilizes. And there's people that are they're all about this. All right. You know, again, if I get a blister, I'm just going to get a needle and pop it. Some of you, you'd want to sterilize it first. You know, at least with a lighter or something like that, and pop it so you don't get infections, things like that. Sterilization. But faith will sterilize us. Faith cleanses us. If we fix our eyes on the Lord, it will separate us from the world. So the first point underneath number two, it says here, it sterilizes us of selfishness. It sterilizes us of selfishness. In one of those hymns that we talked about, that we sing over and over, and it's got doctrine inside of it. It says this, when we look full in His wonderful face, the things of earth will grow strangely dim. Okay, so if we're looking right here, we're going to be dirty. We're going to be touched by the world. But if we're looking there, all right, we're going to be sterilized. And it says here, those things of earth are going to grow strangely dim. So that selfishness comes when we look full in His face and we fix our eyes on Him. That selfishness will be taken away. It sterilizes us, not only our selfishness, but our self-dependence. Our self-dependence. Faith will sterilize us of self-dependence. Faith will increase on our dependence of God. And of course, there's example after example in the Bible. We'll just look at a few. We won't take time to look at them all. But obviously, Moses had to have faith in God. And what did it talk about? How that he looked at Him. And he could see when he's got in that cleft of the rock and he could see his hinder parts going by, his face was glowing. They could tell that he had been with Jesus. So when he needed God and his dependence was not on himself. Obviously, there was times where Moses got in the flesh, I believe, where he came down from the mountain. He had the two tablets in his hands and saw them dancing naked around the calf. Boom! He threw them down, broke them, and so forth. So I don't know if he was doing that on, you know, to show them the seriousness, or if he got in the flesh. But he had to go get another set, and he did that. But he got where he would look at God's face and God and his dependence on him. Of course, Elijah and Elisha, if you look at theirs, they depended on God and so forth. And God showed up. Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, what did they do? They depended on God, and they were sterilized. Those things, they said, Daniel purposed in his heart. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I'm not going to be involved in that. They were sterilized from that stuff. So I'm going to live right so I can help God. And I'm going to live right because God helped me. I want to say that again. When we're talking about sterilizations, things that I need to keep away from myself, I want to do that. Why? Because I want to live right. Like we heard in Sunday school this morning, I guess it was God's, I'm looking for it, His closeness and how that availability could be, I guess, tied if I regarded iniquity in my heart. There are other things that I could do. So I want to live in a way that God can help me at all times. But then there's parts of my life where I was like, I don't know what to do. God, I need your help. And He came through. And so kind of like Paul said, I'm a debtor. I could live the rest of my life till I see Jesus and not pay my debt. And so that helps me get sterilized. Faith sterilizes. So we see that it sterilizes us from selfishness. It sterilizes us from self-dependence. And lastly, underneath this one, it sterilizes us from sin. The Bible just plainly says, sin not. And if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. I mean, stay away from it. Be sterilized. Don't be touched by the sin of this world. So the Bible tells us not to. So we can put our faith completely in God and let Him take care of things and just let Him have the reins, and we'll get further and further and further and further away from that world. And we'll be in it, but not of it. We'll be sterilized. So faith stabilizes. Faith sterilizes. And lastly, faith stirs. Faith stirs. James 1, 5, and 6. It says here, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth all men liberally and abradeth not, and it shall be given to thee. Faith stirs. When we see we say, okay, the Bible says that we ought to pray about everything. And the Bible says we ought to pray always and not to faint. And I'm going to pray, and then lo and behold, God answer my prayers. If we have faith in that, that's going to stir us up. A little kid will come in sometimes like, God answer my prayer. And we're like, yeah, we ought to be stirred up about it. Praise the Lord. And make prayer a big thing, because our faith will get stirred up when God answers our prayer. Next, verse 6, it says here, but let him ask in faith, not wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven, and when the wind is and tossed. And so we've got to have faith. Faith will stir. A prayer is based on faith. We are commanded to ask. We are commanded to seek. We're commanded to knock. And we're commanded to do all that by faith and not let it to waver. So faith stirs, especially when we get a prayer answered. Secondly, faith can deliver us from frightening conditions. Faith can deliver us from frightening conditions. 1 Samuel 17:37 says this, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go and the Lord be with thee. So David was stirred up that day. Obviously he was stirred up because that man was cursing God. And he voiced his opinion about that. What are y'all doing? Let him curse our God. He was getting stirred up. His faith was getting stirred. And then they're like, well, dude, you're just a little bitty guy. And of course, we know the story. He went in there and put Saul's armor on, kind of like you wearing your dad's shirt when you were 4. And it just hung all over. And he's like, I can't do this. I hadn't proven this. And he went with his faith got stirred that day. God delivered me from a bear. He delivered me from a lion. And I have faith that he will deliver me from this Philistine. And here I go. And he went. So faith not only gets stirred up when your prayers get answered, it gets stirred up when God delivers you from something. Daniel 3:17. I think I mentioned this verse this morning as well. If it be so, our God will serve, whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. And of course, we know it goes on to say, but if not, we're fine with that. We'll just meet him in heaven. But we see here two verses that says faith can deliver us. And again, what we have to do sometimes, I guess, is use, where the Bible says that he's no respecter of persons is what I'm looking for. God, I want to have faith, and I'm trying to stir up faith in me. And so forth. And we could say, I know I may not be fighting a bear, and I may not be fighting a lion, and I'm definitely not fighting a giant, but you can deliver me from this situation. You delivered David, and I want to have faith in you. And that stirs us up when we look at stories like this. Same way with the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So faith stirs, but if we're like indifferent, I can take it or leave it. Obviously, it doesn't take faith to live that way. Faith stirs. Indifference, there is no faith. Faith stirs where sin, you don't have to have faith to sin. You just live by flesh, and you sin. Faith stirs, and it says here, in us to think of others. And then it goes on to say, faith stirred causes us to be unselfish. Faith stirs us to pray. Faith stirs us to talk about Jesus. There's a little poem, I guess it says, others, Lord, yes, others, let this my motto be, help me to live for others, that I may live like thee. And so, again, faith stirs us up to be like Jesus, to be like other biblical characters that we talk about, like Barnabas. He was a good man, He was full of the Holy Ghost and he was full of faith. And what did that faith do? It stabilized him. It sterilized him. And it stirred him. So faith can help us reach others. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. We said this earlier. Read it. Believe it. Claim it. Obey it. Put it to practice. And what will that do? If we put our faith in the word of God, we can live stable Christian lives. We won't be wishy-washy. In, out, start up, stop, start back up. No, we'll be stable. There's something about stable people. If you're doing an interview and the person can't be on time, that kind of makes you wonder. If that person, you know, they're looking at you with the big old bug eyes like they've been smoking something they shouldn't have smoked, that causes you to question. But if they're stable, they're on time, they're looking at you, they're talking straight, they're telling the truth, things like that, they're stable. That helps us. And of course, if we have faith in God, we'll be stable. Then we'll be sterilized. Touch not the unclean thing. Set no wicked thing before thine eye. I mean, there's principle after principle after principle in the Bible that tells us to get away from stuff. Sterilize it. And I heard them talking, and I was involved in the conversation about COVID and people getting sprayed down with Lysol. All right? You know, you were in contact with somebody that had COVID. All right, I mean, what are they doing? Trying to sterilize you. Get away. And, I mean, people, they were like quadruple masking it, face masks, goggles, earplugs. I mean, they're doing everything. Get away, get away, get away. But, you know, if we just have faith in God and put our eyes on Him, this world will go strangely dim, and we'll be sterilized like we need to be. And then if we live that way, it'll stir us up. I know I was stirred last Sunday when there was tons of people standing around here talking about their faith in Christ. I was stirred this morning when I watched Brother Derek baptize his daughter. That stirs me up. And what is that? Faith in action. All right, Miss Kyla put her faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Derek put his faith in the Word, showing her that. It just happens. All right, so faith, it stirs us up. And so you're like, you know, I don't know, preacher. You know, God's working on me on this, and I'm trying. And just put your faith in what that book says and get a stable life. And then let it sterilize you. Get rid of anything that you don't need. All it's going to do is hinder your Christian life. Get sterilized. Get cleaned up. And then just get stirred up. And I'm going to do something with my faith. So praise the Lord for that. All right. Let's have an invitation, and then we'll pray for baby Gus after that. So let's all stand. If you'd like to come and ask God just to strengthen your faith, stabilize your faith, sterilize your faith, and get your faith stirred up, the altar is open, and we'll have a short invitation, and then we'll pray for baby Gus. Seated just for a second, and can you clarify, Miss Mary, what's really happening? Okay.